I'm excited about our speaker tonight. Brother Charles Crabtree is one of the premier preachers in the Assemblies of God, blesses our fellowship from east to west, north and south. And he has served our fellowship in Ramona as evangelist, pastored some great churches, headed up our Decade of Harvest thrust for a number of years, and now serves a very important position in our fellowship as Assistant General Superintendent, and serves our fellowship well here and carries out the many responsibilities of this position, a fine matter. And we are honored to hear him speak, preach the Word of God tonight. But before he comes, I have sort of motioned to Ramona and asked her if she would give us a beautiful number on the piano tonight. A very talented lady, a very precious lady that we love and appreciate. And if you will come, Ramona, I know this is putting you on the spur of the moment here, but you're always instant in season and out of a season. I've seen Brother Trask do you this way in chapel at headquarters, so I figured if he could, I maybe could get by with it once. So after Ramona has ministered to us, I'm going to ask Charles if he'll just come and unburden his heart to us. Let's open our hearts to the Word of God tonight and receive what the Master has for us. Come on.
Thank you, Ramona. I know you'd rather hear her play than... But this is good for you, what I'm going to give you, so I'm... You know, I feel that this region has made a tremendous improvement in my life. I was born in Canada, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. It makes me a Haligonian. And I was raised in Maine, where they grow tall pine trees but short crab trees. And God, in His infinite mercy, gave me a beautiful, young, talented lady out of Pampa, Texas, not far from Amarillo, not far from Borger, not far from White Plains. So I feel that you deserve the best, and I don't know why they asked me to preach, I'll tell you that. But it's been a joy to be here these few hours with you. The Prayer and Bible Conference is strategically placed on the calendar, but more importantly, it's strategically placed in priorities. And this conference is very important. And it brings a perspective to the new year that I believe is very vital to those in ministry. And it's a special joy to be able to be with people of like precious faith in these moments. And to hear the rich ministry from these marvelous preachers who have heard a word from God. I was telling someone the other day, I just thank God that I'm with the general superintendent, I get to hear him preach. There are some that, it would be a kind of a discipline to have to sit there and listen, but thank God we've got a general superintendent who can preach, and I love to hear him preach. And I'm also grateful to God for His tremendous gifts. Wonderful administrative gifts and business acumen and so forth. But above it all, I can tell you that the longer I'm around Brother Trask, the more I know that he knows God, loves God, and is a man who fears God. And so we have a gem. And I am privileged to be part of this administrative team. And also, I could go on and on, but with Brother Newbern as the MC, we go back further than I was born. And he and his wife have been such a blessing to us. We held a revival for them in Duncan, Oklahoma. So I've got a real affinity for this part of the country because God has blessed us so abundantly from people in this area. Thank God for this movement, the Assemblies of God, the kindness of God's people, the hospitality of such folks as the Steigers. We could go on, and I believe those are some of God's blessings that we need to constantly keep in front of us. This evening, I want to talk to you about coming to God. I believe that is the fundamental definition of prayer. So many times we get esoteric thoughts about things of God, and we make things so complicated, and we analyze, and we study. But I believe it's important for us to come back to the basics often, and to grasp the simplicity of God's word. In spite of the profundity behind it, there is a simplicity that we can come to God, and a fool need not err therein. We can serve the Lord no matter what our brain activity, nor our background, nor all of the things that may be against us, the fact remains, if you want to serve God, you can serve God. If you want God, He wants you. And we must come to Him in the proper sense. And this portion of Scripture has been going over and over in my spirit. And you know what a preacher is like. It's just, it gets like a fire shut up in your bones, and you get weary with thinking about it, and you just want to tell it. So this is a word from the Lord to my own heart, and it's exploded into the corporate body. And out of my private study and devotion, this word has come. And so if it has affected this poor old preacher, it could possibly affect you. And I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a word that you know so well. Many of you have known it from a child. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You ought to pay attention to those that have done well in the past, those who have made it, those who've got a good report card. And it's by faith they got a good report card. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Please underline that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, I pray tonight that in the simplicity of this moment, you will be allowed to speak to our hearts, because we have open hearts with a desire to hear from you. And I pray that our prayer lives will be changed and transformed, not because of this preacher, but because of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the word of the Lord shall find not only lodging, but it shall find a place of agency that will go to work in our hearts and move us to greater things for God. And we pray that we will have more effective communication with you, so that this movement and this fellowship will move and walk in the will of God and not in the will of man. We ask for thy divine anointing. We sense your presence. Your glory is in this place. These portable temples have praised you, and we worship you, and we lift up your name and glorify you, for you are God. And we thank you for what you will accomplish as we allow you to in our hearts. Amen. He that cometh to God, sadly, there are many multitudes of people around us who do not come to God. This is no longer a Christian nation collectively and publicly, corporately, because millions of people do not know God. Some of them know Him as the first cause, but they do not know Him as He is. Some do not even believe He exists. And with the great philosopher of the past, a Christian philosopher, I agree totally. I fear God. But I fear God, and I fear man who does not know God, and does not know God. So I know God, and I fear God, but I fear him who does not fear him. So there are many who do not know God, do not come to God because they do not even believe he exists. Others do not come to God because they do not believe they are worthy, or they do not have access to God. There is no way to reach up and touch such a creature in their thought, in their concept. They cannot get it in their minds that if there is a first cause, we cannot reach out. There is no effective way of relationship, so they do not come to God. Multitudes do not come to God because when they knew him, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. So when they turned away from God and rebelled against God, his horrible statement is mentioned in Romans 1. God gave them up. And now they will not come to God, so they come to their own darkness and their own foolishness and their own sin, and they create a kingdom without a king. They create that which they feel within their own hearts is right, and so they become as children, building a little sand castle, a kingdom of sand castles, and they are guessing, foolish guessing about what is true and what is not true. And God has given them up, and so now instead of having any light, they walk in darkness. And people ask me, why is America so obsessed with depravity today? It is because this nation once glorified God as God in the Judeo-Christian philosophy, but now they have turned away from God and they have not glorified him. They have neither been thankful because he is the God of all gods, and so God has given them up, and so they have turned around and they have believed a lie. And because they have believed a lie, now we laud depravity and we glorify the most obscene things as being right and true and admirable. So friends, it is a terrible thing to live life without coming to God. But then there are those who come to God, but they do not come in the right way. They believe he is a first cause. They believe he is a creator. But they come to God in a very strange way. They come to God through the senses. They try through the understanding of the mind to try to sort it out. Instead of coming to God really, they come to the things God has created and have tried to find God through the senses. And so we have people who come to church, but they don't come to God. I shiver once in a while, and I know what everybody means when they say it, but I shiver at it and say, are you ready to have church? I hope they're saying, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to worship the Lord? These marvelous hymns, and appreciate the content of the singing and the worship tonight, the glorious words of the exalt the Lord our God. Men and women are trying to figure God out in their own reasoning, in their own mind. And so they're coming to God through a tradition, and they think that coming to church or coming to the Bible and reading the letter and going through the motions is coming to God. But the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. They must
come by faith. Friends, hear me well tonight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is faith? Very, very clear. He says it clearly. Faith is the tool and the means whereby we move past the sensual, and we pass through that which appears to be to what really is behind what we see and what we feel and what we hear. Faith is that which gives substance to dreams and hopes in God. Faith gives a sense of the evidence in a court of the unseen. I know that I can't show you God, but I know Him. I know that I can't prove the blessed hope, but there is still a blessed hope. How do you find that? You don't find it through the senses. You don't find it through the normal channels of the carnal mind. Somehow we have got to back up and humble ourselves and say into our spirits and hearts, now we cannot use the carnal mind to know God Almighty, because our carnal mind is broken down and sin has entered this world. And without this faith, we have become as God's knowing good and evil. And all we do is discuss good and evil, trying to figure out what is good and evil. And when we meet God, we're always trying to cover up and hide. And the devil says, if you'll do that which is forbidden, you will become as gods. And that's what's happened to this world. That's what's happened to this nation. We have become as gods, trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong. But in this place of faith tonight, I pray that somehow, some way, we will grasp this tremendous truth. We are not limited by the carnal mind tonight, but God has given us the faith of the living Lord to enter into His presence, hallelujah, and to know Him in power, hallelujah, and to break through in the anointing and come into the presence of God, hallelujah. Oh, I can't see Him, but I feel His presence now. And he that cometh to God, you have got to come by faith. And he gives illustrations right here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And he said, by faith, Abel received a good report. His brother Cain brought this offering. And to the senses and to the carnal mind, it was a better offering than Abel brought. But Abel pleased God with the lamb. And Cain angered God by the pride of man. And Cain said, I'm going to impress God. I'm not going to come by faith. I'm going to come by works. That's more logical. That I understand. That I can get a hold of. That is sensual. What is this blood business? What is this lamb business? It doesn't make sense. Hello? My friend, if what in the assemblies of God, if the carnal mind can make sense of all of it, we are not the people of God. if we could come in and analyze and figure it all out and plan a program and get a thing going that is just going to absolutely somehow fulfill the religious requirements, we are in deep trouble. Because I want you to know that he that cometh to God has got to come God's way by faith, and it is by the precious blood of the Lamb we have access into the throne. And the world will never understand it, because the cross is still an offense. But to us who believe, hallelujah, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It is the way of faith. And I believe it's so important in this world of knowledge, when we are getting every kind of thing coming at us in every direction. Knowledge has increased, and with it has come the danger of ever learning but never coming to God by faith. So he that cometh to God must come by faith, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is as he is. Not trying to concoct God and make a God or question God, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is as he is. For thou shalt have no other God before me. You shall not make an intellectual God. You shall not make a God with stone. You will not make a God with gold. But you must come by faith. The substance of things hoped for. A God that we have hope in. And the evidence of things not seen. His eternal word that man cannot see. But we come to him by faith, with that substance and with that evidence. And we cry out in our spirits, we know him to know his life eternal. Hallelujah. And I pray, oh God, somehow that we in the assemblies of God shall come back to a simple desire in our hearts. Oh, that we might know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. Because hear me, all we really need is God, because he is all-encompassing, all-powerful, almighty. All that we need is found in him. And I want to ask you a question. How real is the living God to you? How real is the almighty God to you? And I believe that is the swivel point of prayer. What is the sense of coming to a God who isn't? To a God who really is a fiction. Why come to a God of our own designs? It's no different than taking a piece of wood, says the Bible, building a fire with one part of it and forming a God with the other part. He says, I have created you and made you in such a way that through the agency of faith, through faith, we can understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That through faith we can know him who is the unseen, who is the substance of our life. For we do not live in the flesh, but we live according to the revelation of the agency of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we can't even call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. How can we sing He is Lord except the Holy Ghost comes upon us? How can we believe we're the assemblies of God unless the Holy Ghost comes upon us? How can we know that we are in this place to worship someone greater than ourselves unless the Holy Ghost comes? May the Holy Ghost come upon this congregation tonight, and may we have a fresh revelation of the Almighty God who sits in glory and power and majesty. There is no one beside Him. Everybody else is nobody but Him. Hallelujah! There's no God worth serving but Him. And the devil wants you to think that you can become as a God. You can sort it out. You can figure it out. You can know what's right and what's wrong. So you're right, they've been trying to figure that out so long, they say now you can't know. It's all relative. Your truth is true. Happy for your truth. I got my truth, you got your truth. Happy days. I tell you, when I heard of my friend at breakfast a few hours ago suffering an aneurysm or a heart attack, and he's flung into eternity, I want you to know I don't want to serve a figment of my imagination. I don't want to serve a question. I don't want to serve some devil. I don't want to serve something that can pass away. I don't want some question mark sitting in some questionable place of authority. I don't want to serve a political party. I want to serve a God who will be there when I'm in trouble and when I head into eternity. I want to know that He is there. He the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And I want you to know, friend, I have been asking God at the opening days of 1998, show me your reality. I want to know you. I don't want to know ideas about you. I want to know you. I want to know the great and living God. I want to, as John is in the Spirit, on the Lord's day a trumpet wake me up, and I turn and see one whose hair is white as wool, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! A God who can trample over my enemies and destroy every devil in hell. That's the kind of God I want. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Almighty God! Almighty God! I want a God who can answer prayer and trample over every barrier to get to me. And I know I'm not there yet. I don't really know Him as He is yet, because there's still too much pride. And I know if I really know Him as He is, there'll be absolutely no pride. Or I don't have any right there because of who I am. And why should I take any credit? Why should I boast? Why should I have pride? That's the problem with our prayers. We become as gods, knowing what's right and what's wrong and what's good for us and what isn't good for us and what we want and what we want. And what's wrong with our prayers is that we haven't seen Him as He is enough. There's too much pride left. There's too much intellectual thought in areas that the intellectual mind cannot know. There's too much bitterness and hatred. When I see people quarreling and they're making a big deal out of nothing, I suddenly recognize
These people are not living in the presence of God. They're acting like little gods. Know what's good and right and evil. Proud of it. Oh God, humble us. Humble us. We're not big shots. We are absolutely nothing without Him. And so when John saw Him, when the men of the Old Testament got a revelation of God, when Jesus walked this planet in the flesh, when His disciples saw Christ, when they really saw Him, when they really saw God in the Isle of Patmos, when He saw God in the Isle of Patmos, He didn't run around saying, well, look at my credentials. Look at who I am. Look at how long I've been in the ministry. John said, I fell at His feet as dead. And Isaiah said, all my good works are as filthy rags. I'm nothing but filthy in His presence. Oh, a holy God. Oh, a holy God. And I pray for the assemblies of God tonight. May it start in this room tonight. A revival, hallelujah, of a revelation of God as He is sitting in power upon the throne. Hallelujah. Most of all, I know that I need to keep praying for what I'm preaching because I'm too self-centered. It's what I want. Too much what I want. My desires, my dreams are not His. And I've got to surrender. And I've got to say, God, anything that I do that's going to count for anything will be Your will and Your dream and Your vision through me. For it's not by my might, not by my power, but it's by His Spirit. And Jesus said, I have come in the body of this flesh for one purpose. And that is to do the will of the Father. And of myself, I can do, think of it. Of myself, the Son of God says it, of myself, I can do nothing. And what has happened in my prayer life, instead of looking to God and coming to God, I've come with my problems and my burdens and my needs. I have come dragging them in, and they're so important, and my will is so important, and my desires are so important. I need a total paradigm shift to become one who studies and looks at the throne of God with such clarity and with such a humility that I say, God, I don't want anything You don't want. I don't want anything You don't want because it won't be good for me. And I've discovered that over long years of ministry when I've coveted something for myself and I got it, it doesn't satisfy. But when He comes and gives it to me, there is a joy, hallelujah, and a peace and a victory in my spirit. Pardon me for getting excited. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight. Why is it I believe that there's a hunger in this place to know God beside Him, nobody else? I tell you, nothing else is important. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He's the only one significant in comparison to anything else. Oh, I must hurry. So we come to God through faith, and then we come to God in faith, and then we come to God by faith. Not only is He the first cause, He also has first rights. And he's Lord. He is God as he is. So we come to him as first cause, and we learn about him, and we know that he has got first cause, not just first cause, but first rights and first dibs on us. His kingdom's first because of who he is. Everything else is insignificant to what he is and what he wants. And so we seek what? First? First his kingdom. And I pray that in this coming year, and as we're giving different assignments and different things through the year, and instead of saying, how will this affect Charles Crabtree? I'm going to say, oh, how will this please God? How will this please God in your churches? Will this please people, or will it please God? I tell you, start first pleasing God first. Put his kingdom first. Put his ministry first. Put his word first. And then all of these other things will be added. They're insignificant without him anyway. They're worthless anyway. But with him all things are possible. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of the church. So he's first cause, and then he has first rights. But the ultimate victory of prayer is when he has the final word. So we got first cause way out here. So we believe there is a God. And then he's revealed what kind of a God he is, and he is God. He is Lord. But the ultimate victory in prayer is saying, he is my Father. And my Father always has the last word. Now let me prove this to you. Because when we enter into a relationship with God as our Father and we are his children, all of a sudden that relationship becomes all-encompassing and all-significant, and everything else seems to just fly out the window. This is my God who loves me, who has adopted me, who is ruling over me, and I'm not chafing under that authority. I'm glad that I've got a Father who will take responsibility for my life. And the greatest thing we can say about God is that we are the sheep of his pasture, that we are the sons and daughters of God. We are the apple of his eye, and God loves us. Because of that, we can enter into his presence with thanksgiving, and we can also walk into his throne room with boldness. I love the story of, I love the story of Teddy Roosevelt Jr. The end of World War II, he was promoted to Major General, and he was at an airport getting ready to get on a commercial flight. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have a right at the throne. Hallelujah. I can walk right boldly into his presence. Hallelujah. Because I know him. And I know that he loves me. Hallelujah. The ultimate victory. Let me show it to you, and then I'll close. Oh, look back. We got to look back. Look back to chapter 10. Quick. You know, the writer of the Hebrews has set us up. For Hebrews 11, 1 to 6, he set us up in chapter 10. You got to catch this. Can't read, I'm crying.
Look at this, verse 35, chapter 10. He said, don't you cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, children, that after you have done the Father's will, you might receive the promise. Now the just shall live by this business. See that? The just shall live by faith. Yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please Father God. You know why? It is because God, when he gives his word, as a heavenly Father, will see to it that you will receive everything that you need. Everything that you need will be met by your heavenly Father. And it is time for us to not draw back, but after we have done the will of God, let's praise him and let's rejoice, because soon we're going to receive the promise. Soon we're going to have a great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Because if we will seek him, says verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and what? That he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Boy, what you need to do is, after you do the will of God, is to hold steady. So you're in the ministry, you're doing the will of God, and the devil says, it's pitiful. First miserable church, second miserable church, third miserable church. I'm in the ministry for. I want you to know, hallelujah, he is faithful who has promised, and you need to have some patience. And after you've done the will of God and stuck in there and prayed through it every week and stood in that pulpit and delivered your heart, stand, I say, doing all, just go ahead and stand, because soon you're going to receive the promise. You're going to break through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel faith in this room tonight. Here's a bunch of people, Lord, who are doing your will. Now I pray in the name of the Lord, they shall hold steady and not draw back. But they'll say, I'm just holding on, believing that the promise is going to come. You got to do this in the ministry, guys. You got to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. So many memories came back to me as I saw the faces of men and women in this room. Now I remember when Ramona and I called to the ministry. We were called to a wonderful church as the senior associates and music directors. I was a choir director. Love leading choir. Only group in the church that really gets together and harmonizes. We practice unity. Don't you love directing the choir? It's great, isn't it? So, we're there. We enjoyed. What a wonderful time. Wonderful, wonderful time. And God said to me as clearly as a human being, no louder than that. He thunders in your soul to go on the evangelistic field. My earthly father one of the most godly men I've ever known in my life. Great Pentecostal preacher, prayer warrior par excellence. 5 o'clock every morning, gave world report to God. I could hear him, "Now God, you know this and you know that." I'd say, "Dad, God knows all that stuff." He'd say, "Get away from me." My earthly father said, "Oh," he said, "I feel a check." He said, "Oh." My earthly father said, "You're in a good position. You have good income and you have a good ministry and you're secure." He was talking like an earthly father. But my heavenly father given me a command. Hardest thing in the world, overruled my earthly father. First time I'd overruled my earthly father as an adult. We had three meetings lined up. And so with unsheathed sword, I struck out. With my wife, my Bible, my trumpet, my marimba, all the support systems. We got through first one in a microsecond. We got through the second one in a nanosecond. Those that aren't into computers, that's faster than micro. We were in Crane, Texas. For the third revival. The last one. Hey, man, I'm going to have to go back to my earthly father and humble myself. Careful. Got into Thursday of the last week of the last revival. All I could think about was, you go on the evangelistic field. And my earthly father is saying, not a good idea. He that cometh to God must believe that he is as he is. He's either God or he isn't. And that is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We sought God. Thursday afternoon, the pastor said, you have a call from a guy named Gordon Speed, Comanche, Oklahoma. A long way away. I'd never heard of the guy, so I picked up the phone and he said, first thing he said, you must be somebody special. Well, I didn't want to argue with that. I knew I should, but I didn't want to. He said, I was reading the Pentecostal Evangel this morning. And I got to the page where the evangelists. And I saw your name. And I had a little list, you know, longer than. And God said to me this morning, have him. I said, okay. I went on. God said, no, have him now. He said, God, I haven't had a chance to even, this is Thursday. I haven't eaten, wouldn't have a chance to. He said, have him now. Call him now. Say, I don't know him. That's something. I still get chills thinking about that. And I said, he said, I want you to come start Monday night. I said, could we make it Tuesday? Because it's a long drive. He said, sure. And from that revival, I have never known of a time when I didn't know where I was preaching next week. I'm here to tell you, friends, we're in the God business, not the man business. We're in the God business. And I want you to know right now that you can trust him. He who has called you is the same one who will keep you. And when you can't see it, it's still, the evidence is still there. Hallelujah. And when you've got a hope in you, I want you to know there's substance to that hope, because God put that into you. And I don't want you to move from it any longer. I want you to come running back to it. And I want you to say, God, I'm going to do your will. And after I've done your will, I'm going to hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Because the promise is coming, hallelujah, and I'm going to receive the rewards. That's why I keep on praying. That's why I keep on storming heaven. It's because he's still there, hallelujah, and he's my father, and he's got the final word. The devil doesn't have the final word. The board doesn't have the final word. The church doesn't have the final word. But the God of the assemblies has the final word, and you are serving him. Praise be to God. He'll take you all the way to glory. Yes. Come back sometime and tell you how to know him better. I don't have time to put that in there. But first, shut up. Be still. And know I'm God. When you're arguing, shut up. I say that with dignity. Just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Put away the arguments. Be still, be still. No, I'm God. And read the word. Study it, study it, study it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And then praise him, praise him, praise him. Be quiet. Know the word. Build your faith in the word. And then praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him alone. Praise him in the car. Praise him in the sanctuary. Get together with all the other portable temples and begin to praise him, because what? He inhabits the praise of his people. And then obey him, obey him, obey him. As you obey him, you'll know him like you knew your father. And he'll take you all the way to heaven. With this, I close. You've all heard me talk about my mama. Oh, she's a tremendous lady. Little stature, but just mighty. She was just incredible. Stick of dynamite for God. She got this terrible illness. Horrible illness. Multiple poliomyelitis took, ever affected every bone, every muscle in her body. Started with a cane, and then a walker, and then a wheelchair. And a horrible bed. 11 years. Shrunk her under 70 pounds. And my dad in despair. You know, it's easy to stand here and preach on two legs, but when you don't have them. And when your wonderful wife, who stood by you for years, is shriveled up, and the legs are gone. And my daddy, full of faith in the Holy Ghost, stagger once in a while, Say, oh God, one time he's in despair and they were praying, and my friend heard my mother say, it's okay. Pretty soon, I'm going to walk right into heaven. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Father, forgive us for casting away our confidence and denying the dream that was placed there by the living God. Forgive us for despair, for the fear of men. Forgive us, O God. Could we all stand, everybody in this place, please stand to your feet. And I'd like to have us sing, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." People of the world say we're crazy, but there are angels all around. I don't care what they say. Hallelujah. We're surrounded by a host. We're the people of faith. Seeing therefore you're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us run with patience. The race is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And I want people who have, this is the most strange altar call you've ever heard in your life. I want everybody in this room that's doing the will of God to get down to this altar. We're going to pray for you. Everybody in this room who's doing the will of God, come on. We are standing. Come and stand right down here. Everybody in this room who's doing the will of God, you know it. Come and stand right here. And I know that there, all around, let us praise, hallelujah, Jesus now, glory to God, we are standing in his presence, oh hallelujah. Just a moment. Let's sing it again in just a moment. Just a moment. I want you on this night, at this prayer and Bible conference on this night, I want you to know in your spirit, I am doing the will of God. And I am not going to now cast away my confidence. I'm going to have patience after I've done the will of God. And I'm going to begin praising him for the promise. It's the unseen promise. The world doesn't see it. Even my wife doesn't see it. But I see it. Hallelujah. Because I've seen him high and lifted up. And he's the one that put it in my soul. And he's going to answer it. Hallelujah. Revival is coming to my church. Pentecost is coming to my church. Healing is coming to my assembly. I'm going to have a ministry of power. God's put it in there. I'm doing the will of God now. I'm going to hang on, and praise him for the promise. That's yea and amen to them that believe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I dispel doubt and fear in this room now. I rebuke the power of fear in this place now. I rebuke doubt now, and I pray that faith shall be born afresh of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All the power of God's in this room. Hallelujah. He's given you the promise. Hallelujah. And I want you to rejoice in it. We are standing on holy. Hallelujah. And I know that there are angels. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise be to God, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground. To conclude this great service, I would like Brother Trask, I would like the superintendents to come and stand with me here on the platform. Will you do it, please, brethren? I'd be presumptuous to preach to the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, but I know that he is just a human being who has surrendered to God. God has placed into Thomas Trask a vision of a mighty church full of the Holy Ghost. There are people who will say, it'll never happen. Brother Trask, you're doing the will of God, the promise. These superintendents, every one of them, say, we believe God wants to send revival.
Amen. Amen.
These guys are doing the will of God. I want you to reach out your hand to every one of these general superintendent and district superintendents, and I want you to pray that they will never waver, but they'll keep on doing the will of God and then claim the promise. Hallelujah. Never doubt it. Put the anointing. May they claim the promise in the name of Jesus. You put a vision in them. Now, oh God, I pray you. Well, hallelujah. Oh, the promise is with you. The promise is with you. Keep on doing the will of God. Keep on doing the will of God. He is faithful who has promised. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, folks, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. The answer is on the way. The promise is yea and amen to them who believe. Glory to God. He's in this room tonight. He's going to fulfill the promise. It's yea and amen to them who believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be discouraged. He has given you the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to put your shoulder on the person next to you and pray that they will never waver, and that every promise God has given them shall be fulfilled, and they'll keep on doing God's will and the promises of God that are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let the devil rob you. Hallelujah. Put a new vision in our heart. Renew that vision in our hearts, oh God. Renew that vision in our hearts, oh God. Oh my God, my God, my God. Renew that vision in our hearts tonight. Glory to God. Renew the vision. Renew the vision. Give us a fresh ordination of your glory. Give us a new ministry of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God.
We're going to slip out in a few minutes. We're going to have to slip out. All right, it's okay. We can take over.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Can you play for her? Can you play for her? We're going to have to leave.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of.
Everyone in this room who needs divine healing, raise your hands up high, both of them. In the name of Jesus. Send your word and heal them now. With no human instrumentality, only the healing presence of the Son of God. Heal them now in Jesus' name.
In the presence of Jehovah God.
He's God Almighty. God Almighty,
Prince of Peace, troubles vanish,
troubles vanish,
hearts are mended in the presence.
Oh, I want to let you go in the worst way, but I feel like we've got to get on our faces before God. I know it's cumbersome, but you've got to get on your face and humble yourself before Him. Come on, let's find a place of prayer and let's sing it together.
In the presence,
hallelujah. Oh yes, let's get on our faces.
Hallelujah. I'll follow you. Lead on.